Welcome, everyone. Aren't you glad we aren't out in the cold, wet steps? Well, welcome to University United Methodist Church. I am Alicia Wood. I am honored to say I am the pastor here at this church. Last Sunday began, on the Christian calendar, the season of Advent. And during this season, Christians hold on to the sense of longing. They long for the past, and then in the same breath, hope for what is yet to come. Both peace and unending love. So tonight, my wish is that you may find in this space the treasure of the past and in the same breath remain hopeful for the same peace and love yet to come in your own hearts and in the hearts of your friends and family. So welcome. Let us enter into a space and time of comfort and love.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round, and you can't find the fighter, but I see it in you, so we gonna walk it out and move mountains. We gonna walk it out and move mountains, and I'll rise like the day, I'll rise unafraid, I'll rise up, and I'll do it a thousand times again, and I'll rise up high like the waves, I'll rise up in spite of the ache, I'll do it a thousand times again with you, with you, with you, with you.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us tonight. You'll notice already there have been some changes in the program from what's in your bulletin. We've had a few folks tell us they were unable to make it at the last minute. And so we want to thank Tamara for stepping in just now for the worship team from AME Zion. I ask you now to please rise as you're able and join with me in the call to worship printed in your bulletins. We gather this evening to remember. We come to affirm our faith and our hope. We come longing for the caring one who calls us from darkness into the light of love. We gather this evening to be drawn together, embraced by nurturing arms of all who sojourn along this path that we call life. Evening. And frustration, remembering friends and loved ones who we have lost to AIDS, acknowledging the indifference of many religious communities, our society, and the continuing slowness of our human response to the changing nature of the epidemic. We gather this evening in compassionate support. Embracing those who are living with HIV, AIDS, and those who worry and care for others. Gather this evening, seeking to live our lives in prayer, that all might be moved from suffering to healing, from fear to confidence, and from silence to celebration. Almighty One, Great Creator, send your Spirit to be among us this evening. Let your healing power and grace be with us each day as we seek to find our way on our journeys through this life, doing all that we can to reflect your love to those around us, to our departed ones, and to the love to bring an end to suffering and hardship. Amen. Please be seated. I'm not used to having to say that. Halston is another person who is unable to be with us tonight, so we will move on to Lanika. Thank you.
Good evening. Happy World AIDS Day. I'd like to share a piece with you. It's called Her Story. There was a girl looking for love in all the wrong places because, let's be honest, it was nowhere to be found in the right places. He happened to be there when she arrived, and the rest is her story. Loving this man would mean carrying more than his babies. This exchange and delivery could not be removed like the one thing that they both possess. Well, not really. Forget that he beat her, he also infected her. This girl who thought she finally found the one. This girl who thought she finally found the one, and turns out she did. Ironically, during the final days, air flowed through his lungs. He apologized, and they made amends as best as you can do on this side. And she, along with their daughters, stood around his deathbed to bid him safe travels on his next journey. So numbering her days with this, about 30 years, she made a decision to live. Live while systems begin to fight against one another. Live for purpose and the children she kept this amazing secret from. Fearing the choices of her past would be too much to place on the shoulders and the backs of her babies, so she carried this and them alone. Talking only to God and the necessary individuals. During her final days and sensing her journey was ending, she laid it down because this could not continue with her on her next journey. In 2005, I lost my dad to the complications of AIDS, and in 2009, I lost my mom to the complications of HIV. And today, I actually stand here, a pivotal point and an access to PrEP, which is a daily pill that keeps you negative, and it's a service that I can actually offer to the community. So you can imagine I'm very excited to be a part of the initiative to end AIDS because it's personal and I have a score to settle. So thank you so much for sharing, for allowing me to share my story about my parents, but we also honor those that we have lost outside of my family. We honor all of those that we lost in this fight. And so I'm very honored to be a part of the initiative to end AIDS and very honored to be here with you tonight. And I encourage you to enjoy the service and to get with the fight. Thank you.
We are next to have a dance, Inspiration to Life. Apparently she's not ready yet. So we'll come back to that in a moment. Oop. All right.
These are the issues when we try to get pull together an interfaith service with people who aren't familiar with all the equipment.
Thank you. Good evening. I'll be reading this evening's scripture. Which one? Thank you. I'll be reading from Isaiah 41, verse 8. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. The word of God for the people of God.
Good evening. I am Reverend Edith Washington Woods. I'm the senior minister at Unity of Syracuse in the Valley. And I'd like to invite everyone to take part in this responsive reading. I'll read the italics, and you would respond with that which is in italics in bold. Gracious and compassionate God, you hear the painful cries of your people, and your spirit awakens in us for the awareness that we are your hands and feet, sent to accomplish your work in this world together. May we respond to the leading of your spirit and take on the work you have given us to do. You created all people in your image. We thank you for the astonishing variety of races and cultures in this land together. Every life is sacred in your eyes. You hate nothing you have made. Look with empathy upon the people in this land who live with injustice, oppression, exclusion, terror, fear, disease, and death as their constant companions together. God of compassion, have mercy on the sick, the wounded, the forgotten, the weak, the oppressed, the persecuted, the dying, and the families of those who are no longer with us. Lead us with your love to serve all those to whom the world offers no comfort and little help together. Help us to overcome the apathy, the barriers of prejudices. Open our hearts and minds and our eyes. We wonder why a country as affluent as this, can't we help those? As this, can't we help those who have inadequate health care and no one to turn to, but are waiting for the gentle touch of love and healing together? You know our problems and weaknesses better than we ourselves. Accept our humble confessions. Oh God, we are thankful for the opportunities to serve those with need. Help us to cut off the chain of hate and evil in the universe through love and compassion together. We will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the hateful words and actions of bad people, but for the appalling silence of good people. Mother Teresa said, "To love until it hurts." We cannot wait any longer. Healings must be performed. Lives must be reached. The blood of many lives cries for a transfusion of hope and love together. Use our lives to bring healing and new life. Give us strength and compassion and courage to bring about what is needed. The time has come. Send us forth to transform the world and our futures so that suffering ends and your peace is part of every life. Amen. And I want to dedicate this to my two uncles who passed from AIDS, one from IV drug uses and one from having sex with men. And I just lift them up tonight. Thank you.
At this time, we would like to remember those that we have lost and we still love and think about every day. So if you could please stand. In honor of their memory, we ask that you speak out loud the person's name and please come up to light a candle. You can say more than one name, you can light more than one candle. I know myself, sadly, I could light probably well over 150 candles. So it's a difficult day, it's a hard day, but it's better when we're all here together. So please speak their names loudly. And feel free to come up and light a candle.
Wendy, Alexis, Modesty, Tim, Ronaldo, Joe, all of the women of the Living Days Project, and all of those for many of the statins that I have not gotten them in my heart. Because like you, I like the table.
Dave Gabriel.
Thank you.
Peter.
Candles obviously represent many lives. But I think, Michael, you said it. Far too many lives have been lost. World AIDS Day is recognized around the world. If I remember right, I think it's well over 30 million people around the world that have died. So through these candles, we remember our loved ones and in our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pastor Deb Stein, and I'm the pastor at St. Stephen Lutheran Church in Syracuse. And I'm here partly in my role as a pastor, but I'm also here as a mom. I can remember when my daughter told me that she was HIV positive, I want to say 20 years ago. And back then, it was a death sentence for her. But I am happy to say that she now has three children who she had naturally and are not HIV positive. And with the miracle, thank you. Yeah. This is a dream that she never imagined in her life. Because as she told me when she first told me about her being HIV positive, she was told to get her house in order. And she asked me to be the executor of her will. And I have to say, that was beyond what I could even think about. But today, she has a life that she never imagined because of the medications that are available and the support that she had, both in the gay community and in with her doctors and so forth in Connecticut, where she lives. And so I am blessed with three beautiful grandchildren that I never imagined happening. And so in that spirit of hope, as we wait in this Advent season, I ask you to join me in a litany of trust in God in honor of my daughter, Andrea. In the many silences of our heart, O God, when feeling is beyond saying, your faithful people everywhere wait upon your spirit. In the silence of joy, when a baby is born, when a sunset blazes, when a loved one is restored to health, when peace replaces strife. In our joy, we wait upon you, O God. We give you thanks and praise. In the silence of sorrow, when love is lost, when pain is too constant a companion, when time brings change that is hard to bear, when death seems victorious. In our sorrow, we wait upon you, O God. You alone are our rock and our refuge. In the silence of anger, when justice is postponed until tomorrow, when violence shatters body and soul, when prejudice sets neighbor against neighbor, when no one will listen. In our anger, we wait upon you, O God. Teach us the ways of justice and mercy. In the silence of fear, when our future seems uncertain, when the world seems to be turning backward, when all of the progress made in the last few years seems to be at risk. In our fear, we wait upon you, O God. Give us the strength to carry on with courage, to be bold and constant in our work for continued equality, and to be loving as we bear witness to your message of love for all people. Let us put our trust where it belongs, not in our positions of power and wealth, for such things are fleeting and lighter than breath. In our joy, our sorrow, our anger, and our fear, we trust in God's unfailing love and guidance. We rely on the blessings that being a community of faith brings. In this universal assembly, we are individuals of many colors, cultures, ages, sexual orientations, gender identities and abilities, yet we are one in faith. Together we trust in God, who created all of us in God's own image, the God who will see us through every storm, the God who loves each and every person just the way we are. Thanks be to God.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for asking me to speak tonight. I'm kind of disappointed. These candles could go around the room many, many times, and this place should be filled. So what is going on? These are the conversations we need to be having. Many may know me, but for those who don't, my partner Nick Orth and I started Friends of Dorothy House in 1992 when there was still no place for people to go that were dying of AIDS. 24 years ago, wow, what a journey it's been. We never imagined we would still be going all these years later. We have always had to adapt and change the disease and needs changed. When we started, we pretty much knew our guests were going to die. Then with each new medication, people responded. And it went from people dying to the hope of maybe getting well enough till the next advancement arrived. We went from hospice care to also including restorative care, emergency shelter, teaching people how to take their meds, and often moving on to a chance at a new life or to return to the life they once had and thought was lost. We have come a long way from people being diagnosed and gone 6 months later. Many people think it is over, but it is not. The compounded issues that keep people from taking their medications, like mental health, addiction, and extreme poverty, often keep people from taking their medications consistently enough for them to work. Many of us that have been in the trenches for many years know that we have come a long way, a very long way, in the progress in treatment and stigma surrounding those infected and affected. But still, there is much work to do. It will be very interesting to see how this new administration responds and promotes health in general, let alone around HIV and AIDS. Many of us remember the early days of fear, stigma, and all the struggles that went along with HIV and AIDS, and we will not go back to those days. The days when people were made to eat off of paper plates, silverware thrown out, food left on the floor outside the door of a patient in the hospital. We know who that was, Wendy Alexis Modesty. People not wanting to rent or employ people who were infected or living with people infected. I remember one mother wanting to hide her son's illness for fear she might lose her job. Many parents found out their child was gay and infected at the same time, all too often to turn their backs. But for those that didn't turn their backs, those that had the courage and love and embraced not only their child, but the cause and need for all people infected and affected to be treated with compassion and dignity, I thank you. So many ways that oppression and injustice was manifested. We could all share many stories of those experiences. Yes, we have come a long way, and yes, we still have work to do. I think back at the amazing and heroic activism that brought us here. The battle with the FDA and getting drugs approved, ACT UP and many small affinity groups working to educate and battle for the rights and dignity of our people. Where are folks now, though? Look at this room. Why do my white gay brothers not fight for our sisters of color who are dying often at the same rate we were in the 90s? I watched the documentary Wilhelmina's War. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. It's about a family struggle with AIDS in the rural South. In South Carolina, AIDS is the leading cause of death among young black women ages 16 to 24. It reminds me of the days before effective treatment, when so many gay men were dying. Only this case, women are dying because of racism, poverty, lack of access, and the indifference of local government. Why does this sound so familiar? And why are we not fighting for them? No, this is not over. I hear from some that have been or were in the trenches that they are tired, burnt out, or relieved that those around them are doing well and don't want to fight anymore. But the fact is, the people that are still in need are not familiar or connected in some way to them, or the same class or color as they are. It no longer is in their face. I am not blaming them, and I do understand. But the need for our activism is still necessary. Yes, we have come a long way, but why have we left some behind? Our trans community and people of color are still too often left behind, not only around the issues of HIV and AIDS, but in many of the areas that might lead to infection, education, equal pay, jobs and opportunities for a good life. We must connect the dots. When one is hurting or oppressed, we all are in some way, whether we realize it or not, whether in body, mind, or spirit. Wake up to the fact that in spite of all the progress, this is not over. Yes, many are doing well, and for them, I am relieved and happy. People have the opportunity to live long, happy, and healthy lives, but not all have that same opportunity. Fortunately, for those living in some states like New York, there is amazing opportunity, but the struggle continues for too many in our country and around the world. Yes, we have come a long way, but the battles continue. Let us work against the sins of racism, classism, sexism, homophobia, ageism, transphobia, and violence here and around the world. The money spent on empire, war, and dominance and holding on to power could be used for life-giving experiences and justice. Let us work for social justice, peace, and the understanding that love is the answer to many of our problems. With love and compassion, we can make change. We have experienced and lived through what love can change. We know as well as anyone from our long history or her story, in dealing with this often cruel disease, that it was through love that the worst of it seemed to have been conquered. But we still have work to do in so many places, beginning with our own hearts and lives, to our community and around the world. Thank you for hearing me. Now I ask you to be educated, to act, to organize and continue this journey, this fight that has brought us together here in Syracuse, New York, tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. So from here, we can have some time together, some time to love one another and get to know one another and figure out what's next and how we will move forward in this. And so I invite all of you, when this is over, to go down the stairs, and we're going to the room that is to the left. So down the stairs and to the left, and there is a light supper there. So please join us. But for now, let us leave this place filled with memories, hope, and love, so that when we leave this place, we may share this with everyone we meet. Go now in peace.